take your Bible this morning, if you would please, and turn to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse number 1. Would you please stand with me out of reverence to the Word of God? I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 of Deuteronomy 13, where it says, "If there arise among you a prophet, or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." If you'll look back at me, it's very clear here that God says, I know whether you truly love me or not. I know that. And that's what the sermon is about this morning. To me, one of the ultimate responsibilities as a preacher of the Word of God is that I am to do all I can to try to help people love God. And that's not just a religious statement. I think you and I as Christians are to love God. And I'm not real sure we understand that. Let me pray for us. Father, help me today to deliver the truth properly. And Lord, the whole purpose or plan is that somehow people would love you more because we've been in this church service today. Holy Ghost of God, help me to help us to love God the right way. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I did a little research on something, and I'm going to share it with you. Thank God for Google. I looked up the top 12 things to date that are considered things that people love. And I'm going to tell you what they are. I'm going to give them to you in reverse order. The 12th most important thing to people, or thing that they love, is the television show called Guiding Light. It had 18,262 episodes. The 11th most loved thing in our world, and you don't know about this, but it's called snow beer. And we're talking about beer, alcohol. It's the biggest selling beer in the world. It's primarily because it's sold a lot in China. 1,611,598,000 gallons of snow beer has been sold. And that's on the top of the world's love list. Number 10, Finding Nemo, the DVD. Over 40 million copies of Finding Nemo. Number 9, Snickers bar. You all are so spiritual. $3.6 billion in sales. Number 8, Super Bowl number 49. That was the Patriots and the Seahawks. 28-24, 2015. We have someone that's mourning still. 7th, Farrah Fawcett, with her 6 million posters that were sold. 6th, the show Avatar grossed $2,787,965,000 in sales. 5th, McDonald's. Sorry, Jim. Yeah. Jim's an executive for Wendy's. 35,000 outlets in the world. 4th, the Rubik's Cube, the most loved toy ever, with 350 million Rubik's Cubes sold. 3rd, the Guinness World Book of Records. They've sold 5 billion copies, billion copies of the Guinness World Book of Records. The second most loved thing among people all around the world is Tetris, the video game. I like the way they worded it. With over 1 million legal downloads. It's probably out there 3 or 4 times that much with illegal downloads. You say, what's first? I'm not going to tell you. First. And this was a list of what the world loves. Number one, Michael Jackson's Thriller, 110 million copies. Now, some silly things there, some good things and bad things there. You know what's sad to me? God was not mentioned. What is this world coming to? Our world loves beer more than they love Jesus. It's sad. We're commanded to love God. Let me help you with something. And if I could just get a couple of you to absorb what I'm about to say to you, it could revolutionize your life. I think there's some people in here. You're far more weaker in regard to your Christianity than what you realize. Matter of fact, I believe there's some people in here, you're far more weak in the area of your love for God than what you realize. Let me say this to you. You are to love God His way. His way. You see, there's all sorts of people that think they're loving God well because they love God there. Way. No, I'm not telling you that loving God your way is totally bad, but I am telling you this. I've tried to learn to do in life, I'm going to love my wife. Now, I'm going to love my wife and I'm going to use my love for her and give it to her, but I'll explain something to you. You know, one of the things I need to do, I need to figure out how she wants to be loved so I love her the way she receives it well. I know people that say, well, I tried to love them. And they didn't accept it, and so that's it. I'm off the hook. No, you're not. No, you're not. You say, well, I tried to love my way, and if my way's not good enough, it's my way or the highway. I'm very sorry to say this to you. If you've been trying to love God your way, when you should have been loving God His way, you're not such a great lover of God. I want to love my wife the way she wants to be loved. And boy, if I can try to love my wife the way she wants to be loved, so much the more shouldn't all of us love God the way He wants to be loved. But I'll promise you, this diluted Christianity of our day, it's basically, I'll love God my way and everybody can do it their own way. I'm sorry, really, God gave us a way to love Him, and that is the best way to love Him. Now, we enjoy the thought that God loves us. I think one of my favorite verses in the Bible is 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 13, where it says, and Solomon loved the Lord. You know, when I remind the congregation, if I'm preaching anywhere and I make the statement, God loves you, I often have people say, amen. Because we're very interested in the fact that God loves us. But I want to remind all of us today, not only does God love us, but we're to love God. Did you know that God knows if you really love Him? Talk is cheap. He is the great lover of our souls, but He desires that He be loved. Who hasn't heard the famous passage of Scripture from John chapter 21 where there was an exchange between Jesus and Peter, and Jesus said to Peter, lovest thou me? And then He repeated again to Peter. He said, lovest thou me? Then He repeated again to Peter and said, lovest thou me? Now, it's very obvious that Jesus wouldn't have talked to Peter about it and asked 3 different times if Jesus didn't want Peter to love him. And I'm glad that we all get to absorb the love of God. Thank God God loves us, but God wants you to love Him. I wonder if God would look down at some of you today and say, do you love me? And then you would answer as Peter did. And then God would say, I want to ask you again. Do you love me? And you answer. And then God looks right back at you again and says, I mean this. I mean this. I'm not playing now. Do you love me? God, I really think that's what God was doing with Peter. I think God was saying, look, Peter, I love you. I asked you a question. Do you love me? And your answer was semi-flippant. And you were religious with me for a moment. And you would get the words off your conscience. But I want to know, do you really love me? Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Let me ask you a question. You love God with all your heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. That word all there in the Greek means all. Joshua 22:5, it says, but take diligent heed to do the commandment of, and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you to love the Lord your God. Psalm 31:23, it says, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. You say, well, how? Well, he says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. I think we really need to become aware of both the privilege that is ours in loving God, but the responsibility that is ours. When was the last time you told God that you loved him? God makes some promises to those that love him, and I think this is sad. I'm going to talk to you about some of the promises that God makes in regard to if God said, if you love me, I have some things I'll do for you. Now, be honest. I'm really sad. I am sad that God had to offer us stuff for us to love him. Are we not a mess in the human race? Why would God ever have to feel like he had to offer us some things to get us to love him, the great lover of our souls? But thank God he knows what he's doing. He's smarter than we are. I'll show you some things. If you'll love God, there's some things that God has available to you. You take, for instance, if you love God, he will show special mercy in your life. The Bible says this in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 and 6. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me. And what that verse is saying is, when you love God, there is a special mercy that God makes available to you. Now, I do want to make sure I say to everybody in here, God is merciful even if you don't love him. There's an abundant mercy that God makes available to us whether we love him or not. But in this case, God is saying, when you love me, I'm promising you there is a special mercy that I can make available to you. You say, what is mercy? Well, mercy is not the absence of punishment. Mercy is the presence of love and kindness during punishment. In other words, you cross God, he may have to spank you, but he'll love you while he does it. But I'll tell you something, if you love God, God said, I have a mercy that I'm going to reward you with because of your love. Let me say to everybody in here, it would be a real good idea for you to love God. Because if I know the human race well, we're all going to need spanked and we're all going to have to go through the ringer from time to time. It would be a real good thing to know that we've got mercy banked in store, ready to help us through the messes that we create for ourselves. You say, how will I get that? Love him while you've got the good sense to do it. You see, I think if we love God, he promised a special kind of mercy. Not only that, I think if we love God, he provides or promises deliverance to us. Listen to Psalm chapter 91, verse 14. It says, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. And this is talking about, God said, because that person loved me, I will deliver him. I think that God gives a special type of deliverance to those from who he receives love. You say, deliverance from what? Well, how about deliverance from the devil's attack? And again, folks, when the devil attacks, God knows we need mercy. God knows we need deliverance. I'm going to tell you all something. If you don't love God when the devil attacks, you may not make it through that mess unscathed. You say, well, what do I do? Love God. Love God, because in loving God, God provides a unique or a special deliverance. Hey, you could be attacked from the devil. I hate it, but there are human enemies that are out there that would hurt you. God said, if you love me, I can deliver you from the enemy's attack. I can deliver you from Satan's attack. I can deliver you from a human enemy's attack. But I'll tell you what else. I'll tell you, I think, again, it'd be a real good idea for all of us to love God right. Why? Love God right. And you say, why? Because we may need deliverance from the messes that we make for ourselves. You see, I do have the devil. He is my enemy. I do have human enemies that may try to hurt me, but I mess things up for myself from time to time. You know something? If you would study the story of the great man in the Bible named David, it is said of David he was a man after God's own heart. You know something? I believe David loved God. And I'm just going to give you an opinion, and if you disagreed with it, it's okay. I'll tell you something. Isn't it amazing all the messes that David had in life, but he's still a champion and a hero? Can I tell you why? I think David, in the depths of his heart, he really loved God. And I think every time David messed up, God said, you messed up, David, but boy, you loved me. I've watched you love me, and I have a way to salvage and deliver you, because that love, I covet that love. I want that love, David. I want to help you get back on topside. I want to help you. Hey, you know what, David? You messed up and you did some stupid stuff, David, but I know there have been times when you've loved me so deeply, I'm going to pull you out of this thing, son. Hey, should God pull you out of anything? You say, well, why would he do so? Because he wanted to have your love. You see, when you got into the mess, that love connection was distanced. But God will say, I'm going to get you through this. And you say, why would he get me through it? Because God wants to get you back to where you're loving him again, because he enjoys your love so much. And Brother Uriah, my opinion is that David made it through all of those messes that he went through, and still is a champion and a hero today, because God said, that guy, he was after my heart. He loved me. I'm going to do all I can to salvage him. And I'm sure David kept God busy. But I believe that's one of the reasons why David is still a spiritual champion and hero today, is because he was a man after God's own heart. You see, I think there is a benefit of special mercy. There's a benefit of deliverance that comes when we love God. Thirdly, I think if we love God, he will honor us. And this doesn't make any sense at all. Why would the great God of the universe ever want to honor the human race? But it says in Psalm 91, verse 14 and 15, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him, and I will set him on high. At the end of the verse, it says, I will deliver him and honor him. God has special honor that he'll give to those who love him. You say, how does he do that? I don't know. I can only but guess, but here God's saying, there's honor. If you love me, I'm going to give you some honor. I tell you something that, I don't know, maybe this happens. Maybe God's in heaven. And as he corresponds, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the angels, the saints are in heaven. I wonder if God could not look down on earth and say to everybody in heaven, you see that man right there? He loves me. He loves me. I wonder if everybody in heaven says, whoa, God just pointed out somebody that loves him. That'd be honor. That would be honor. You see that woman right there? She's not just religious. She's not just playing the religious game. God said, that woman, she loves me. I imagine the angels say, oh, you understand that? Look right this way, young people. Don't mess around while I'm preaching. I wonder if that young, wouldn't you consider that honor for that lady? Wouldn't you consider that honor for that man? Maybe that honor is here on earth in some way. Maybe that honor is among the brethren. Maybe that honor will be in heaven someday. I don't know, but what I can tell you is this. God said, I'll give honor to those that love me. God said, I'll give special mercy to those that love me. I'll develop and make available a deliverance that's unique to somebody that loves me. If I were you, and if you glance at and you take the Bible seriously at all, if I were you, I would recalculate my love mechanism, and I would make sure that I'm loving God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. You say, why? You're going to need it. You're going to need what's made available by loving God. Number four, I see that if we love God, He offers us a longer life. A longer life. Let me read to you from Psalm 91 again, where it says, because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He hath known my name. He shall call upon me. I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him with long life. Will I satisfy Him? Why? Because it said somebody loved God. Did you know God can give you longer life because you love Him? Now, I think it's obviously a physical plight or a physical reality. There are people out there that do not love God and they die young because of it. You turn your back on God and ignore God enough and live the life of the devil, you'll lose that life. But now I think God is coming to the Christian saying, I can prolong your life. And might I say this, I had someone ask me one time, they said, well, preacher, you told us that if you got wisdom of God, you would live longer. And if you obeyed God, you would live longer. And I have a loved one and they died when they were 12 years of age, but they were an obedient child and memorized the scripture and was a very, very good child. How could the scripture be true that if you love God and you get wisdom and you do right, you have a longer life? And there's an example of someone that died when they were 12 years of age. Well, I told them this. I said, well, they probably should have died when they were 4. But God extended and tripled their life. The Bible's always true. Just because your reasoning can't grasp what God does, the Bible's always true and God is always right. But God said, I can prolong your life because you love me. To me, you say, why? Well, I think this. I wonder if God wouldn't say to someone, you love me. I think I'll keep you alive down here longer so I can get more of it. I get more of that love. And I'll tell you this. I think that people that love God, there's a contagiousness available. I think if a dad really loves God, I believe this. I believe then his children might learn to really love God. And God would say, I'd like to keep that dad around a little longer and that mom around a little longer because they love me so much and they're teaching their children to love me and their grandchildren to love me. And God said, I want to get that love, so I'll keep you alive longer. Why? So that the love that you have is contagious. Let me ask you this question. God got any reason to keep you alive? If the length of your days were based on your love for God, how long do you think you ought to live? Or are you living on borrowed time? But I do see in the scripture that God said, those that love me, He says this, with long life will I satisfy them. And so God gives us the benefit. God comes along and He says, I want you to love me. And if you will, there's extra mercy. And if you will, there's a deliverance that's available. And if you will, there's an honor that I can give you. Because what greater honor could there be than it be said that they loved God? And if you will love me, a longer life. And then I think God promises preservation to us, to preserve us because we love Him. In Psalm chapter 31, verse 23, it says, oh, love the Lord, all ye His saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentiful rewardeth the proud doer. He started that verse out and he said, love the Lord. And the Bible says the Lord will preserve. I think God gives special preservation to those who that give Him love. You say, well, what kind of preservation would you be talking about? Well, I wonder if Christian leaders that love God, God preserves their leadership. I wonder if Christian businessmen that really do love God, I wonder if God does not preserve their business. I'm going to make a statement here, and I'm not going to say that I agree with everything that the owner of Chick-fil-A believes. I don't know what all he believes doctrinally. I know I've preached in Canton, Georgia on a number of occasions where he got his start. I know I preached at a church up the road from where he got his start. I know that he doesn't open his businesses on Sunday. And I know there's a Christian element and a salvation testimony that is given there. And I happen to believe that God honors that. And I've seen the evils of the world attack him. I've seen them attack that organization, but that organization kind of just shakes it off and keeps on heading up the road. What is happening? God is preserving someone, because I think a businessman that loves God, God has a way to preserve their business. I think God could preserve because we love him. I think God could preserve your mind. I think God could preserve your mind. You say, Pastor, I struggle with my mind. Love God. Love God. I know that does not sound like it's great psychology, but I would tell you this. If you say, I struggle with my mind, then let me give you some advice. Love God. God can preserve your mind. God can make mercy available. I think God preserves the mind and preserves the family and preserves a business and preserves someone's Christianity and their testimony. I think God can preserve one's influence and preserve one's relationships. But what he said there in Psalm 31:23, he said, if you love God, he said, God said, I'll preserve you if you do that. You say, I'd like to be in the ministry a long time. And I think I have young men in here that feel like God's called them to preach. I'll tell you something. You young men, hey, and you don't have to be called to preach or called to evangelism or be a missionary. Anybody in here, you say, I'd like to have a ministry with God for a long time. Let me give you a key element. Love God. Love God. Love Him. Not only that, I think number four, I think if we love God, He promises us joy. Joy, listen to this. Psalm 5, verse number 11, it says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Three times the word joy, or some derivative of the word joy, is used in that one verse. What was the key? Loving God. I think God gives a special joy to those from whom He receives love. Again, I don't think Bible counseling and Bible psychology is like the world or Freudism and all that wacky stuff out there. You want some advice about depression? If you're depressed, love your way out of it. Love your way out of it. You say, what do you mean? Love God. And if you'll love God, then you'll do what God commands, and you'll do what God wants, and you'll do what is best for God. And staying in that state is not best for God. Love your way out of it. You say, my relationship is depressed. Love your way out of it. See, if we love God, God promises a joy. And this is not happiness. Happiness comes from the word happenings. And you're only happy when certain things happen. Joy is a quality that you can have 24/7. Even when you had a hard time, you can have joy. See, happiness is based on what happened to me. Joy is not something that happened to you on the outside. Joy is something that's going on the inside. Joy comes from the inside of you. And the Bible says if you love God, He can insert joy into your life in a special way. You say, I'm going through a really tough time right now. What's one of the ways I can help myself? Love. Love God. Love God. Love God. You say, well, you talk like it's a miracle antidote. It is. You say, why? Love never faileth.
Whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. But love, charity, never faileth. Those of you that are down, love will get you up. God loves you and we all like to hear it, but God wants you to love Him back. And God said the human race is so anemic, they're all about, give me, give me, give me, let me receive. God said, if you'll love me, I'll give you power that the world has not seen. I'll give you mercy. I'll give you deliverance. I'll give you preservation. I'll give you what you need. Love me. Love me. And God has the right to ask for it. If we love God, He gives us a joy. Hey, if we love God, He promises. This is my favorite one. If we love God, He promises that we can get to know Him in a more personal way. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 3, it says, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. There's a whole lot of doctrinal teaching going on there, but I believe this. I think God gives a special personal relationship with Himself to those from whom He gets love. Now, it's a wonderful thing. Boy meets girl. The boy likes girl. Girl likes boy. Friendship, love, wonderful exchange. And who doesn't want to have a close relationship with another person? Let me tell you something. God wants to have a close relationship with you. And you ought to want to have a close relationship with God. If you've met God, I don't think you ought to just have a friendship. I think you ought to fall in love with Him. There are people in here, you know about God. Let me ask you this. You mind me putting it this way? Are you madly, emphatically, without reservation, in love with God? You say, well, you put it that way. Well, what other way should I put it? But the Bible says, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. And I happen to believe that's teaching. When you love God the way you're supposed to, God said, I want a special relationship with you. You ever feel like someone is God's pet? You ever look at someone and say, oh, I just feel like that man, that woman, they're God's pet. Probably, if that's true, if there is some special relationship they have with God, it is on the basis of love. Love. I'm almost finished. I'm going to give you one more. I wish I could talk about it all day long because I happen to believe that God does not get the love that God deserves. Matter of fact, I know for a fact God does not get the love that God deserves. I wish there'd be somebody under the sound of my voice when the busyness of the day is over with that you would go somewhere alone and just love God for a little while. Turn your phone off. Don't let anything stop you from getting some time with your God. He deserves your love. Let me say this and I'll be done. I think if we love God, I think He promises us some unimaginable, wonderful surprises because we love Him. Some unimaginable, wonderful surprises. I memorized this verse a long time ago. I quote it all the time. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Did you hear what it said? It said, as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. In other words, God has a storehouse of wonderful, magnificent surprises. He says, if you'll love me, I'm going to surprise you. I've got some things for you. You say, you think that's in reference to heaven? Sure, I'm sure it is, but I think there's the availability of a little heaven on earth. I can tell you this. There have been a few times in life where I was working extra hard at loving God and God entered the picture and things happened and I went, oh my, I am overwhelmed with what God just did for me. If there is one way that you can get God's attention, I can tell you one way, it's by loving God. Why would God put in the scripture, I want you to love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? I'm going to guess God wants love. He wants love. Have you ever noticed something? I think sometimes in a relationship, often, if one is giving, whether they'll admit it or not, they are giving in an area in which they wouldn't mind receiving. God loves, but God wants to be loved. The great lover of the universe, there's something that he would like to receive from you and me. What is it? It's love. I don't think the verse where it says, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of man, that which God hath prepared for them that love him. I don't think that's only heaven. I think that's here on earth as well. People who love God experience some special made, sweet, and delightful occurrences and in life that are provided by the object of their love, which is God. And you know, it's not always the same thing. You say, do you mean money? Well, maybe sometime it is money, but boy, there are a lot of other ways God can love on you in a unique and a special way. And some of you, you could testify. You know of times when God has just suddenly done something and it expressed His love and you said, I was caught off guard and God did that and I know God stepped in and I know God met a need. And I think God was saying, I can do that for you and in a special way. Because God loved me? No, because you loved God. It is really, really heartbreaking that I knew that when I wanted an introduction for my sermon, if I went to the internet and I said, give me a list of the top things loved in this world, I already knew God wouldn't be on the list. It saddens me. But I knew it was an easy find. And I knew I wouldn't find God on the list. Is God on your list? Where at? Before or after the beer? Before or after the lust of the Farrah Fawcett? Before or after your video game? Or your television. Or your food. Before or after Nemo. He should be at the top of your love list. And remember, you're supposed to love God His way. That's the best way to love God. He knows. He knows the right way to love. Let's decide to love God His way and put Him at the top of our love list. There's plenty of room for other things. Man, if you get God at the top of your love list, that's fine, boy. You can put your husband, your wife, your kids. You can put a Wendy's triple on your list. It's okay. But the problem is, way too many people have French fries at the top of their list. When God ought to be at the top of your list.